For now, Angeline Grenzel is with us. Angeline lives at Whangaroa, beautiful Raglan, and of course has been involved in Māori kaupapa all her life. On the 12th of February of 1978, a group of Māori gathered there for a karakia with 12 tohunga. And Angeline was there on that day of 78. Thanks for joining us on the show again. Whanaunga, tēnā koe, Angeline. Tēnā koe, tēnā koe. You must have just been a young nipper when this all happened in 1978. And tell us more about this hui and this karakia with 12 tohunga on the 12th of February 1978. How old were you? Why were you there?
I was in Auckland at the time. I was living up there in Tauratū South with my children. And, of course, there'd been a whole lot of activities leading up to this day. We had, 1970s, there was a lot of the land march and a whole lot of other issues were happening at Waitangi. And one of our issue, the land issue in Whangaroa, of course, was on that scope. But what happened here was the Taniwha area, the Wahi Tapu, the council had gone and desecrated it. They'd put their sewage pond on it and put a pipeline out into the harbour. And, of course, a few people, the boat started to sink. So people blame the Taniwha, and a kaumātua from down in Whanganui, Titi Tihu, saw it and rang my mother and said, we need to have a karakia, put the mana back on the land, and we're coming. Call 12 people together on the 12th, February, 12 o'clock, and so they turned up. And I heard about it, and I thought, I'm going to go and see this. I have never seen 12 tohunga in a room, and I respect the abilities that they have. It's something that, you know, I was just a young mother, but I was really keen to come and have a look. I brought my three children down. We turned up the night before and listened to all the kōrero at Oihakana Marae, and then the next morning we came across to the Urupa, which of course was in the middle of the Raglan Golf Course, which had a competition planned that day to raise money for the school. We got onto the, our men had gone across early in the morning, and they'd up this whare with about 12 stakes in it so that the kaumātua could sit there. And we waited at the Urupa about 11 o'clock. We gathered, there must have been about 250 of us, quite a big crowd. And then we started to see a few police around, and we were just waiting for a couple of kaumātua to turn up. And I can remember just before the arrest, Hannah Tehemara and Sid Jackson turned up with a media and Edwarda Sterling in a little car, deposited them at the Urupa and were promptly arrested. So it was an interesting day, something I think at the time was going to happen. I was really brassed off, but we missed out on actually witnessing something like that. And it never happened. So that was quite sad. But as they say, you know, the Wairua does many strange things. We've been trying for years to talk to the government about the fender, and in fact, this was about a taniwha and a sewage pipeline. It ended up being the pivotal, I guess, action that caused us to end up in court and finally get the attention of the government, who gave the land back 5 years later.
So it turned out to be a significant event. But obviously the police didn't understand the intent of the gathering anyway, just saw it as a large group of unruly Māori, let's get in there. And we know that Sid was public enemy number one at that time, but, you know, the likes of Amelia Sterling and the many tohunga and rangatira that would have gathered there for a good purpose easily misconstrued from the police's perspective. I guess it's one of the events that eventually resulted in the whenua being returned. But even so, it's a sad indictment on what we had to go through to get what's justly ours returned.
And I think that one of the things about at the time, I think, you know, we were, you know, there was a lot of, Ngā Tamatoa was around, there was a lot of action by Māori at the time, and I think one of the tactics they use, of course, is they arrest people, which means you either throw the whole movement into disarray if they're not sort of politically aware, or you waste a lot of time with people going through courts and you get distracted from your main kaupapa. So I think, you know, it was just one of the tactics at the time, I think, just arrest a few people and you know, make us look like all bad protesters. and, you know, diminish your mana, or that's what they probably thought would happen. But instead, of course, it made people come out fighting because there were a whole lot of people arrested. And they were selectively arrested. They were known for their activism. My mum was the first, the only one from Whangaroa that they arrested. They arrested my uncle and unarrested him because the golfers told him they'd have trouble if they kept him, so he got it off. We have Bede, the playwright. He was writing a lot of stuff. Sid, of course, Hannah, who'd been instrumental in getting that, you know, Te Reo, the petition before Parliament for Te Reo Māori, which, of course, 1987, we end up with the Māori being officially recognised, even though it had been here forever. And, of course, we've seen what has happened since then and the growth of a new generation that are quite capable and confident enough to make sure that the things that we probably went through won't be happening again. You know, Tama Puata, the filmmaker, John Hippolyte, he was a pretty big man, and I can remember him being arrested. He was sitting on the ground trying to be look insignificant. He's too big for that, so the police tapped him on the shoulder and said, do we have to carry you, or are you going to walk? And he thought, oh, you drop me, so walk. Ted Nia, Edward and Nia, who's from, of course, the Cook Islands and also active, Heta Tamara, Barney Pikari, Vicky Curry, a little Pākehā girl who looked like a boy. They thought she was a boy. Turi Carol Blake from down at Taranaki. I'm just trying to remember all the people there. Teata Witiheta, who was from up north. Betty Williams, a school teacher from Hauraki. Jimmy and Patrick O'Day, Irish activists, and of course Grant Hawke from Bastion Point, and James Pormare from way up north. So we actually had Ngāho e Whā there, both represented in the Tohu, also, and those people were arrested, which brought everybody together. I think if they just arrested my mother, we would have still been battling away getting support, but what they did is inadvertently involved the whole nation, which I think helped us to move forward.
Well, I'm pleased that we've been able to talk of that day, because many didn't realise that that was part of the precursor to what eventually happened, the return of the golf course, the principled fight that was fought, and is an ongoing kaupapa in Raglan, because we haven't got what we justly deserve, and councils have been a little dismissive, too, of our rights. I'm thinking of the airport land as well, as we speak, Angeline, so it's right that we remember this day, the 12th of February, 78, and thank you for the roll call. It reminds us that our people and good people have been in the fight for a long time, as we must be going forward. It's a tuhini.
Just sort of recollecting on the aerodrome, the area that hasn't come back, which, of course, your tupuna was sort of gathered down that end. So that issue is live, I think. The delay has been the Crown. The Council has been very clear about their resolution to give it back to the descendants of the original owners. The holder has been the Minister of Conservation in Te Arawhiti. And so while I was up in Waitangi, I took the opportunity to very briefly talk to Tama Pōtaka. We've invited him to Whangaroa because he is the Minister of Conservation and also of Te Arawhiti. So both of those organisations, I'm looking and I'm very hopeful that we might get something happening this year. We have asked to be on a schedule, so just letting you know that I think we may get some action to get that land returned. We should. I mean, the council and everyone else is happy about it, so the Crown just has to do what they need to do, which is remove the reserve status so that it can be given back to the owners. It was easy enough to give Raglan back once they came to the idea that they should. In the same way, at that time, we didn't have the support of council. This time, the council is and says, come on, let's do this. So looking forward to that happening later, and a big celebration following all of that, Dale, which hopefully you'll be down here to cover.
Well, I hope so. It's like coming home to beautiful Whangaroa that glistens like a jewel in the sun.
Well, yeah, today it's glistening at the moment. I'm looking outside my window and there's all these guys trying to get fish on the you know, it's blue, the sky's blue, the sea's blue, and it's a nice day.
It's a beautiful day. Good talking with you again, Angela. Thanks so much for ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi ki a koe.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koe.